Well, I'm glad everybody's here this morning. Get your Bibles out. And if you would go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning, I want to share a word with you this morning, still on the same line of our VIP messages. You know, all of y'all are VIPs this morning, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel like it or not, you are very important people. Hello, look at somebody beside you and say, hey, VIP. Listen, you are very important people. You are sons of God. You're born again. If Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, listen to me, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, then you're a VIP. You're a very important person on the face of this earth. You're not just a normal human being. You're a brand new creature on this earth, a person walking around housing the Spirit of the living God. Come on now. That's pretty important. You know, I just pray with all my heart. This morning I was listening to the radio and at the message to see if it was on. And praise God, there's some new station management going on over in Uvalde at the radio station. And praise God for that. I'm getting VIP service again. And they're playing the messages. And there was a new message on this morning. And it was on the VIP. And I was listening to it. And man, it brought tears to my eyes listening to me preach. Just thinking, Lord, let people hear this. You know, my gosh, Christians walk around in this world just beat up, tore up. They don't have any hope, don't have anything. They know if they die, they're going to go to heaven, and that's all there is. And that is such a wasted way to live your life, because God wants you to walk in the promises and everything that He has for you. Being a Christian is a great thing. Being a Christian today, everybody wants to put us down and say, well, you know, you're not this, and you're, oh, you know, that's bull, man. I'm telling you, being a Christian is the greatest thing in the face of the earth. But we got to walk in our covenants and promises. We got to walk in what God called us to. And so, you know, you can go to thewaterhole.net, or now I told you about last week, we've got the new thing up. You can download SoundCloud to your phone and then just search and find The Waterhole, and the messages pop up. Jake's putting them on there each week. There's already like three or four of them on there. And you can listen on your iPhone, plays directly through. It's really great. It's really cool. I even listen to it myself and encourage myself, because most of the time when I'm preaching, I don't know who that guy is. So I just think he sounds funny. So the point this morning is, because I'm just continuing the line, I can't review. The point this morning is some of you may freak out and you may say, oh, brother, I can't believe the preacher's preaching about this morning. But you just got to hear me out all the way through, because you know me, I preach a good message, right? I preach a positive message. I'm not here to offer condemnation. I'm here to offer wisdom in the word we can walk in. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and I'll tell you what I'm preaching on after I read this. It says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Everybody say mighty in God.
Mighty in God.
Okay, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to teach you something this morning, because this is teaching this morning. Teaching and preaching is preaching that I'm doing to you this morning. I'm preaching. It's something you may not have ever heard about. You're going to hear the word, but you may not have ever heard it taught to you like this. Okay? I'm preaching to you this morning about the power that you have as a VIP, the power of repentance. Okay? Now you think about that for a minute. Most of what teaching that surrounds repentance is that you did something wrong and you need to get right with God. So that's repentance. Hello? Y'all with me? Isn't that the way you usually heard about repentance? You need to repent. Sinner, repent! Right? Calling you to say that what you were doing is wrong. And usually everything about repentance has to do with what some other person is looking at you, saying that what you did was not up to standard or not up to the religious code. Right? Am I with y'all with me this morning? I hate religion. I tell you, I hate religion. I hate religion that puts people down. It's like Jesus said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they make twice a child of hell than they already are. I don't like people looking and judging other people based upon what they think is right or wrong. I don't have a problem with Jesus and the Bible telling me what the truth of the matter is, okay? But most people, if you say repent, they think it is in a negative connotation, right? Y'all with me? Y'all live out there this morning? I mean, shake a head at me or something. Come on. But I want to tell you something. Repentance, I'm going to show you the power of repentance this morning. It says right here that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshy, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to talk to you for a moment about strongholds. Now, strongholds are anything in your life that has come upon you that you are walking in that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Are y'all with me? Okay, so the Word of God says that you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer in Jesus Christ. But if you don't, if you're shy, if you are, you're insecure, you got phobias, you got problems, you got worries, you got anxieties. Well, the Bible says, well, wait a minute, you're not living to your full potential. You're not being who God created you to be. Y'all with me? So then, wait a minute. If you're not living and you're not being who God created you to be, what happens to you in life is things, thoughts, mostly thoughts, but thoughts come upon you and then you begin to change the course of the way that you should be walking in life because you're walking in what you think is right, but it's not right. It's wrong. It's not what Jesus said about you. And when you do that long enough, what happens is you develop strongholds. Strongholds in your mind and your thinking. Okay? You say, well, I don't think I have any strongholds. Okay. If how are you in life? If something arises, do you fall into fear? Well, if you do, well, then you have a stronghold that whatever that is has a stronghold over you, causes you to walk in fear. You with me? If you certain type of person with their personalities really just, throw you a curve when you're around those people, well, then what happens is you have a stronghold. And the stronghold has developed in your life in simple terms because you haven't walked in what the Word of God says really truly about you. Okay? Y'all following me here? You're an overcomer more than a conqueror, but you're letting something intimidate. You're letting fear come in. Listen, Matthew 6 says you're not even supposed to worry about anything in this world. How many of y'all have worried about something last week? How about this morning? Okay, this morning. It says you're not supposed to worry about what you wear, what you eat, what you drink. But we all tend to fall into that. Oh my gosh, what's the economy going to do? What if this happens and what if that happens? What is my business going to do? And, work gets slow and you're like, oh God, am I going to, Lord, I need some work. I need something coming in. And we get ourselves into worry. But the Bible says we're supposed to be trusting in Him. Hello? And let me tell you something. When you're not trusting in Him and you're not walking in what He says, what that really is sin. Now, we think of sin as this thing that you did, but see, you're doing it. Your worry is sin. It's missing the mark. Sin means missing the mark. In other words, you're not hitting the mark of your full potential. That's all. Let's just get out of the condemnation of the word sin and just think of what sin means. It means you're missing the mark. You're not walking in what Jesus has for you. Hello? So the power to get right, the power to walk in victory, the power to come out on top of this thing is repentance. Because repentance puts you in the right perspective with God. Okay, years ago, this is a long time ago, back when we still had the ranch and we were showing cattle all over the United States and I had to go to a cattle show and I was leaving my family, and my daughter was real small, and I said to her, I said, Darcy, what do you want Daddy to bring you back from the stock show? And so she was little. I don't know, man, what was she, like five, something like that, and she looks up at me, and she says, I just want to bring me back a big diamond. I'm like, well, typical girl here, man. She's going for the gusto, So what's Daddy going to say, right? And I said, okay, I'll bring you back a big diamond. And so I left. We laughed about it. And so, you know how in all stock shows, they always have vendors and stuff. And I was walking through the vendors, and I just happened to look over there, and this person was selling these big, they were cut, you know, crystals, but there was one that was about that big, and it was cut just like a giant diamond. And I said, oh, my gosh. And so I bought it. So I wrapped the thing all up, you know, and I came home, and I brought it to my daughter and gave it to her. And, of course, she was excited that she had the giant diamond. Daddy brought her the giant diamond home. And so one day I was looking at that thing, and I got to messing with it, you know, and I got to looking how you'd try to look through the light and whatever, you know, and the way it was cut and everything. And I began to study and look at prisms. It was what it was. It was a prism. And if you look up the Webster's Dictionary for what a prism is, it says it's a medium that distorts, slants, or colors whatever it is viewed through. It distorts, it slants, or colors whatever is viewed through it. Whatever you're going to look, it colors it, it distorts it, and it slants it. And I said, that's a stronghold. A stronghold in your mind is what it's been set up like a prism, that when you're looking at the situation, you're looking at it through a slanted view because of some experience you've had in the past that has slanted you not to trust people, not to trust men, not to trust women, not to trust this, not to trust that. This distrust has been built in your life and caused that prism to be set in your mind that you're not looking at things right. Okay? That's a stronghold. But how did you get the stronghold? You got the stronghold for not obeying what the Word of God says. It says right there in 2 Corinthians 10, in the last verse there, verse 6, it says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The stronghold is destroyed in your life when you repent and get an obedience to God's word. Now, this is how simply I do it. Whenever something comes at me, I feel I'm worried, I feel I'm anxious, I feel I'm whatever, I stop and I say, you know, Lord, you said I'm supposed to be trusting in you, and I'm not looking at this situation right. I'm seeing it as, this is going to be hard. This is going to be something bad's going to happen. And so, Lord, right now, I just repent because I'm not really trusting you. So I need you by the power of your Holy Spirit to work in me to destroy that prism so I can see your word and what you really want to do. The other morning I got up, this happens to me all the time, and I wish I'd learned it. Got up the other morning, you know, the phone starts ringing. I got to be in about six different places at the same time, and I was getting frustrated, and I was getting mad, and I got up, told my wife, said, this is ridiculous. I went off, and I just went out to the truck, got in the truck, and started driving, and I just finally stopped and said, Jesus, man, this is ridiculous. I don't want to start my morning out like this. I said, I can't be everywhere where I'm supposed to be, and I can't take care of everything I'm supposed to take care of. You got to show me what to do. Immediately, the phone rang, and somebody that I was pressured to get to called and said, listen, I'm sorry, we can't, because I was trying to get all my work done today for tomorrow, and said, listen, I'm sorry, tomorrow I can't be there. There's been a funeral I've got to attend, and I can't be there, I'm going to have to cancel. And I was like, dang. I was like, oh, okay, well. And then I was like, and it was just like, you know, okay. And then in a minute, the phone rings, and the other person said, listen, I'm running late. You know, I'm going to be there. And it just like everything smoothed out and ran, started running right. And I was like, Lord, why don't I learn to do this at the first? Why do I wait till I'm frustrated and about to shoot something before I break down and ask you to fix it? And it just lined all up. And then the day was great. I ended up the, you know, victory at the end of the day. But see, what's happening is we're not trusting him. And the power to get into that place with Jesus is to repent. Repentance is no weakness. Repentance is your strength. Repentance is the ability to turn to God and get all the junk off of you. To destroy the prism in your thinking, and then you can see clearly what you need to do. Let's go to another scripture here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, and see what Jesus said about repentance. Is this good this morning? Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus is speaking here. He says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. In other words, Jesus was going around doing miracles, but the people still weren't trusting him. Do you know that happens today? God does miracles for people every day, and people don't turn to God. Hello? You know, God's not out of the miracle business. God's not out of the business of moving in people's lives. But what happened is people, it doesn't affect them. Do you really realize in the end of the world that there will be people standing there looking at God totally in the face, moving on this earth, and they'll still say, we ain't going to repent. We don't want to serve you. That's pretty hardcore. Right? But there's people whose hearts are so twisted. They're so twisted that they will stand there and they will not utter, not repentance like, oh, I'm sorry that I did something you didn't want me to do, but they will not repent because they will not say, man, you are king. See, when you have a prism in your mind about repentance is only that you did something wrong, well, then what happens is if you keep that prism in your mind, well, then you're like, well, wait a minute, I didn't. Yeah, I may be angry at so-and-so, but if he wouldn't have said that to me, well, then I wouldn't be doing this. Right? How many of y'all like to justify your anger, justify your worry, justify your unforgiveness, justify that because you're looking at it saying, well, I wouldn't even be in this situation if he wouldn't have said that to me. And so you feel like you're justified. No, but what are we going to do with the scripture that says, vengeance is mine and I repay, says the Lord? What are we going to be about? What are we going to do about those that scriptures that says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke's easy and my burden's light? What are we going to do about the scriptures that says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you? You see, folks, I got to tell you this story. And, you know, there's no way to just tell it, but just to tell it. So about 3 months ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, it was a God dream. It wasn't a pizza dream. It was a God dream because it set me free. I dreamed that I was in heaven. And I didn't get to see nothing great and glorious. I was standing in a hallway. I was standing in this hallway, and it was really an unusual hallway because it was about 10 foot wide and had really tall walls. And I was standing in there, and I was just standing there, and a person that I knew was coming towards me. A person that was angry with me on earth. I knew it. And that we had a bad relationship. And he comes walking down the hall, and he walks up to me, and he says sarcastically to me, what are you doing here? And it's a dream, right? I'm not participating. I'm just watching. And I'm standing there, and I said to the person, I'm here to weep for you. And I didn't say it in a ugly voice. I didn't say it anything. It's from the depths of my heart. There was sorrow. And they turned, and there was a door, and they opened up the door, and all I could see was the person's face. And it was a face, the look on their face of terror is not the right word, because it wasn't like there was a lion about to leap out and eat them. But it was terror in the sense of, oh my gosh, all is revealed. It's all exposed. The truth is out. I feel foolish. It was a look like that. And I heard the Lord say out of the room, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. When I woke up from that dream, I was weeping for that person. And God had totally set me free from any unforgiveness. I'm telling you that absolutely there was nothing but love in my heart. for every person that I had been dealing with. I was instantaneously set free. The crazy thing about it was my blood pressure went down. My heart rate had gone down and has stayed down when all that unforgiveness got off my life. But Jesus had to set me free by showing me a revelation. He had to set me free by showing that what my word says is the truth. No one gets away with anything. We all are going to stand before Jesus and give an account of our lives. You don't have to worry when someone has wronged you. I know it may be hurtful. I know it's hurt your life and your emotional realms and your psyche. I know that, but I want you to understand something. No one gets away with anything. Vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Nobody gets away with anything. Everyone gives an account. Everyone's going to stand before Jesus. Everyone is going to have that same terrified look or revelation of being of every truth revealed of life. Jesus says, give it to me because I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of the situation. Give it to me so then I'll heap burning coals of fire upon their head. That's what the word says. And if you want to exact your own vengeance upon it, then you're taking matters into your own hands. And folks, that's sin, and you're not walking in repentance. I'm telling you how to get free this morning. You say, well, I ain't never going to forgive them all. I hate that person all my life. Go ahead. Your blood pressure is going to be high. You're going to die early. You're going to be sick. You're going to be miserable. You're going to have issues in your life all over, physical issues and mental issues all your life. You're going to develop strongholds, and the person really is going to win. Well, it's not easy. You don't know what they did. Hey, I understand totally. But if you start in the place of saying, Jesus, I want to walk in that, but I'm not there. You know, I hate them. Listen, I woke up every morning and said, Lord, you know, these people, I hate them. I woke up every morning and said that. I said, I hate them, Lord. I think, you know, they deserve to be taken out back and shot because I was judging them. But when I quit judging them and I started saying, changed my prayer and started saying, Lord, I know I'm not thinking right. I know I'm not thinking right. So change me. Lord, I repent. I'm not believing what your word says. Change me. When I started praying like that, folks, listen to me, God then began to work in my life until he got me to the place to dream that dream and set me free. But if you're not willing to walk in the place of repentance and take that power on, well, then what's going to happen to you is you're just going to get more prisms, more strongholds, and more bondage in your life and cause you to be crazier. You know, as I noticed, crazier. That's just the way it works. That's life. These prisms that get set up in our head and in our mind and in our hearts, if we don't get them destroyed, well, then what's going to happen is you're just going to end up making your life more miserable. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to give them the satisfaction. That's how I took joy. They no longer hold me in bondage. They no longer can hold me in bondage because I'm not going to be in unforgiveness. I'm not going to walk in it. Your power is repentance. See, it's not easy to work up the emotional frame of mind to say, oh, I just love them. That's not in me. Y'all with me? But I can be smart enough to look at what the word says and say, Lord, I'm not walking in that. I don't want to be like these cities that you did mighty works in and that they wouldn't repent. I want to see, Jesus, I know you're real. I know you're alive. I want to see you working in my life. And if I'm going to walk in what you've got for me, I've got to repent. Repent becomes my power tool. Not something like, oh, I'm such a bad guy, I got to repent. No, no, no. I am a bad guy and I need to repent. Hello? Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Is this helping you? You see, we always view repentance as a negative thing. It's your power. It's your power as a VIP. It's your sledgehammer. Man, I had so much fun this past week because we're doing some remodeling in a house, and we had to demo a wall. And I told the guys over there, I said, hey, y'all back out, this wall's mine. And man, I went over there with a sledgehammer. Man, I busted boards. I knocked stuff off. Man, I swung. Man, it was fun. Knocked off pieces of plywood, kick them off. I just, you know, it's just good to get it out of my system. And every now and then it's like that. You know, you look at, if you look at repentance as a negative thing, you don't want to do it. But if you look at it as a positive thing, man, you want to repent for everything. Because you want the power of God working, kicking down those walls, breaking that those studs out of your way, getting all that garbage, breaking the prisms and destroying it, right? I'm like a little kid, I got to admit it, and I like to hear glass break. I don't know what it is about it. I just something that's just exciting to me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, and if you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. That's what it says. Is that not what I'm preaching? Quit thinking of sin as, well, he's drinking, dancing, or smoking. Quit it. My goodness, there's a thousand things other to be thinking and addressing before anything like that. You with me? You got to get that out of your head. Folks, of worry, anxiety, unforgiveness, all these things will kill you quicker. It'll kill you quicker than smoking. Now listen, I'm not advocating smoking. I mean, that's your own business, but don't get to put me on a Marlboro man or something. I'm just saying there's some serious effects here of unforgiveness. Hello? It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, what is confessing our sin? Is that not repentance? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance brings cleansing. It breaks and destroys those prisms. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. There's some things, I'm not, listen to me, church, you have to understand me. I'm not talking about these religious things. I'm talking about the truth of the word coming in your life. All right? Don't let this the religious things come upon you. Last night, I showed my wife a video. I was looking for, I was looking up old songs. Actually, I saw ZZ Top. How many of y'all ever, you know who ZZ Top is? I'm just going to make sure that the young people even know who ZZ Top is. Okay, you know, I grew up listening to ZZ Top. And I just got to look and wonder if they ever sang any song, any Christian song. And so, you know, he said, oh, ZZ Top, those guys with long beards, you know, they couldn't sing that easy. You know, they can't be Christians, you know. Hey, I don't know. I got to look, and I didn't even know a lot about them. They're Texas boys from Houston. Anyway, they did sing a Jesus song. No, they really did. They sing a Jesus song called Jesus Left Chicago. And go look at the words. Go look them up, man. Go tap it in. Come down. Jesus Left Chicago, man. It's all about Jesus. And if you come to him, he's the one that'll set you straight and all kinds of stuff. It's Jesus, brother. And as I was looking up that, I came across this video of Steven Tyler. I don't know if you know Steven Tyler was the singer with Aerosmith. And this guy's freaky looking. I mean, if he sees the video and he'll, you know, knock it. Hey, buddy, I'm sorry. You are. This guy's freaky looking. And he was in a church singing Amazing Grace. And I want to tell you something, man. I wept when I watched this video. It brought tears to my eyes singing this old druggy rocker who'd gotten set free and was singing in this church Amazing Grace. And, I mean, it was jaw-dropping. The point I'm trying to say here is I don't care what has happened to you in life, repentance will always set you free. And we got to get out of the mentality it's just about a religious thing. It's just because you're trying to get yourself cleaned up so you can be pretty like this little Christian person. Who's designated what this little Christian person looks like? Who says that's the way a Christian's supposed to look? Hey, Jesus wore a robe. I'm not into that. Jesus had a beard and long hair. I'm not really into that. Do you see how just completely idiotic we've become? That we've made repentance, which is our greatest weapon, only about trying to look better, act better. It's all about this little religious moral sense of what things are supposed to be. It has nothing to do with the power that it really is for, which is to destroy strongholds and prisms that come into our life and try to hold us bound. He says if we repent, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of that. Hey, addictions. Yeah. Repentance brings about freeing you from addictions because you have to repent that you're dependent upon cocaine, not dependent upon Jesus. You're dependent upon alcohol, not getting drunk in the Holy Spirit. You want to get drunk? The Bible says get drunk. Just do it on the Holy Ghost. You think, oh man, I'm getting some serious trouble here now. You don't think God likes to party? Man, I'll challenge you. I'll go all day long on this one. God, first thing God does is set up 12 feasts. Every one of them's got barbecue. Every one of them, everybody has to quit working for days. 7 to 10 days, nobody does any work. They're all eating, having a good time. I mean, tell me my God doesn't want to party. Tell me when you get to heaven, the first thing we do is sit down and eat. Glory to God. All I'm saying is that we get our minds so warped because we're not understanding what repentance does for us. It sets us free to be who God called us to be. All right? It's a powerful tool. Okay? If you look in Luke 24, verse 46, it says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary." This is Christ's last mandate for us to go out into this world. "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And instead of people taking what Jesus said and said, "If you're not doing this, you need to repent," people set up their own idea of what a Christian was supposed to look like and said, "If you're not doing this, this is what you need to do. You need to get straight." That's wrong, church. Repentance is about knowing what the Word of God says and then lining ourselves up with it. And if you're in worry, you're in sin. If you're anxious about your future, you're in sin. If you're angry with somebody and you're not walking in forgiveness with them, that's sin. Go ahead, give me your case of why you have the right to be mad at them, and I'll just tell you that's what the Word says. The Word says, give it to Jesus, repent, and he'll set you free. You say, but you don't understand, but you hadn't been in my shoes, but I haven't, I can't, but I'm just saying that's what the Word says. You either do it and get free or develop a prism, a giant prism in your head that you will see everything slanted and twisted all your life. It's a choice. It's a choice. Let me give you another scripture. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. This is John the Baptist speaking. Now, I love this. John the Baptist has been preaching repentance. It's his first message to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's preaching repentance, And he sees the religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're coming to be baptized by him. Now, he looks at them and says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He says, "Man, you bunch of snakes. Who told you to come down here and get baptized?" And then he says, listen, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Wait a minute. True repentance should bring a change in our life that can be seen. True repentance would bring about a fruit of righteousness. True repentance is when somebody comes down and says, "Something's different about you. What's different today? You don't look the same. You don't seem as ugly. You don't seem as mad. You don't seem as vicious today. You okay?" And you say, "Yeah, last night I repented and God forgave me and I forgave myself and forgave them and everything's great. So cool. I'm happy this morning." Huh. Okay. You just buried a fruit of repentance. True repentance. Listen to me. True repentance has action to it. Now let me show you what the action is, okay? And I'm just going to touch on this, and for time's sake, we'll deal with it next week. Which is the next power you have? Because true repentance brings about forgiveness. I'm telling you, church, you cannot work up emotionally forgiveness. Can't do it. I don't care who you are. You say, "Oh yeah, I forgave them." Well, unless you went through repentance, unless it truly was a result of your repentance, you really don't have the ability to forgive them. Because I don't know about you, but if somebody did me wrong, I remember. And a lot of times we choose and say, "Well, oh, I know what the Bible says, and I don't have to just do that. I don't have to just like them, but, you know, they get killed in a car wreck next week, and that's their fault." That's not forgiveness. Are y'all with me? Brother Ivan was always giving me a hard time because I was always telling him my doctrine about forgiveness up until I got this revelation. It's always been like, okay, you know, like, it's like, okay, I mean, this sounds horrible to come from your pastor, but it's just the truth. I'm a changed man now. But it was like if somebody had wronged me first, I just, you know, would just like to take them out back and shoot them. And then it became like, okay, no, I just want them to fall in a pit and I don't have to see them anymore. You know, and I slowly worked my deal down to, okay, well, just let them get chased across the field by a bear, but don't let it eat it, you know. Or, you know, and I just kind of slowly just like lessened the severity of the punishment every time I thought about it, right? You know. Until finally I came to a place and said, "All right, just forgive them, Lord, just whatever, you know." I worked it out like that slowly. And a lot of times that's what we are in life. That's the way we want to do things in life. But I want to tell you something. You can't emotionally just forgive. But when you've already used the power of repentance, the Holy Spirit has a way now that when you come to the next place to forgive, it's the action that God's done something in your own heart. It's easy. Forgiveness becomes easy if repentance is in front of it. Now, this one you're not going to like at all, but you got to eat it. It's in the gospel. It's in the Bible. Okay? True repentance and true forgiveness is not just, "Oh God, forgive me, I'm sorry. Okay, I forgive him." It takes action on your part because you have to show forth its fruit. Takes a place of action upon your part to restore what's been broken. So let's just say, you know, heaven forbid, this is not you I'm talking to. Maybe somebody out there listening. You know, let's just say you cheated somebody in business. Okay? Well, if the person that cheated you truly walks in repentance and forgiveness, they would have to restore what they stole. The Bible says if a thief be found, he's got to return back sevenfold. Hello? If you slandered somebody and then you found out that was all wrong, well, you shouldn't have slandered them anyway, but if you found out and you walked in repentance and you know to go correct it, then you know what you have to do? You're going to have to go find the person and tell them, I'm sorry, I slandered you, forgive me. Whether they do or not, it's immaterial. That's on their shoulders. But you have to do something on your side. That's a part of repentance. Repentance is not just getting away with it by just cheaply saying to God, Father, forgive me, and coming back. There's got to be some restitution for what's been done. Everybody say, yay! I love Pastor Robert's message. Glory to God. I was like, I wish I didn't come to church this morning. Tell me that. Now I'm mad at the preacher. Now I got to work this whole system to get out of the unforgiveness I got for the preacher for teaching this. All I can tell you, church, is the power of repentance makes forgiveness easy. You got to repent first before you can walk in forgiveness. But forgiveness is the action that follows repentance. Hello? Okay. I've just tore you up enough today. But I'm not through. I mean, I got lots here to help you through this because I'm telling you, it's what's killing us, folks. It's what's killing us. Now, let me give you one scripture of hope here, and then I want to have my prayer team come down here. 1 John 2 and 20 says that you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. God has anointed you. God put an ability on the inside of you, an anointing. That means like the, you know, it's like the gasoline for the motor. He put that on the inside of you that you could operate in so that by faith you could repent, right? That by faith then you can walk in forgiveness. By faith you have the tools in you, but sometimes you really don't know how to use it, right? And so he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put the anointing upon you so that you can understand it and walk in it. So what I preached to you this morning, you may not really make sense to you. And you may not have any emotion to it. You may not have any feeling, but I'm telling you, if you just start somewhere in your relationship, just start saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm not thinking straight. Can you help me? Just start like that. Simple. The Holy Spirit then will begin to take you on a journey and will begin to explain things to you and begin to show things to you. And if you got a dream to get set free, he'll give you the dream. But you got to start because it's in you. The ability is in you to be free, but you got to start by at least trusting him and at least start walking in it. Amen. So what I encourage you about right now today is just start. Church, you may not understand everything I preached to you. You may not all caught it by the Spirit, but just start living a life and be quick to repent. The moment you feel anxious, start right then and say, God, just forgive me right now. I'm anxious. Help me, Holy Ghost, to show you what to do. The moment you got a decision to make and you've been making bad decisions, you say, man, Holy Ghost, help me right here. I just repent. I'm trying to do this on my own strength. I'm trying to do this on my own ability. Forgive me. Help me. That's it, church. That simple admitting and confessing it out of your mouth, then the Holy Ghost will begin to speak to you. Now, you got to listen, right? You've got to listen and do what he says. But if you'll start like that in a simple way, then you're going to find yourself all of a sudden, wait a minute, God worked that out. And then it's going to cause you to want more and more and more and more. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would, please. Can I have my prayer team come down? Church, listen to me. I want to take some time here this morning, and we have dinner on the grounds, and so we're not in a big hurry. But I do want to offer you prayer this morning, because I know prayer works. And we've got our prayer team down here this morning, and if you're here this morning and you've been dealing with some bad issues of unforgiveness, and this morning you really want to pray with somebody about repentance, well then, you know, then this is your place to start. I really can't do anything. I can't come up here and just like lay hands on you and make it go away. All you got to do is repent and use your power. But hey, man, we're here. We're here for you. So if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I like the way that preacher's saying, I like all that stuff, but, you know, I don't even really know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm really in a right relationship with Jesus, or I don't know if Jesus would do anything for me anyway. Well, listen, let me tell you something real simple. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. The Bible says any person that would confess Him and believe in Him, turn to Him, that He fully will accept Him. No matter what you're doing, if you're out there today and you're watching by video, or you're listening by audio, and you're strung out on drugs, you're at the bottom of your life, or if yet you're at the top of your game, you may be the wealthiest man out there in the world, but you know in your heart you're not right with God. It's real simple. Repent. Ask Jesus to come into your life. He'll save you, set you free. The Spirit of God will come into you. Reach inside your heart. He'll wash away your sins. And man, you can be free. If you're in here today, church, and you don't know Jesus, you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, well, we're here to pray for you. Okay? We're here to pray for you. Don't leave the building. Don't let the enemy take you out the door without you knowing for sure that you're right with God. There's no pressure. You're not joining this church. You're joining the kingdom of God. Like I said, Jesus' first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. And I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is yours. All you got to do is ask Him. So I want you just to bow your heads here this morning. I'm gonna pray over you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you want to, well then, I just ask you just to lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to be right with Jesus today. I want to know that I'm right with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you lifted your hand or you didn't lift your hand and you know now you should have, as soon as I pray this dismissal prayer, I want to ask you just to come to the front and grab hands with one of these prayer people and just tell them, say, hey, I want to be right with God. Here today and you just want someone to pray with you about a hard situation you're in, we're down here up front. So take the hand of that person beside you. Now, Father, I just thank you for this word today that's gone forward. I just declare, Lord God, the word's gone into their lives, it's gone into their hearing, but Lord, let it sink into their hearts. Let it destroy the prisms in our minds that we've established by saying that, Lord, looking at things in just religious ways, so that we can truly walk in what repentance means, the breaking and destroying the strongholds in our life. Lord, I just ask you to just bless each and every one of them. Bless all the food that's been prepared, Lord. Bless the hands that have prepared it. So let us have a good day of fellowship and just being with you. So, Lord, I thank you.